This is the regional programme from the North and also the Empire programme.
Good evening. Tonight the Pogues play live in session in our basement studio. Steve Coogan, we talked to him shortly before he embarked on his Paul Calf national tour, well, and all his other characters. We talked to him before the tour started, and he's back now as The Day Today is launched on TV this week. It was a kind of TV version of On the Hour to some intents and purposes. Right, Steve Coogan, back once again. All right, Steve.
Hello.
So, as I said last time we talked to you, you were just off on the, I call it the Paul Calf tour, which is mainly to avoid saying bag of shite too many times.
I wouldn't want to say bag of shite.
No,
too many times.
So that, like, you were just that was just before you started it. So how'd it go?
It went very well. It went very well. I mean, the promoter was putting me out to sort of test the water, see how popular I was, and it went down very well up north. I mean, I sold out most of the northern gigs,
right?
But some of the southern...
and some of them were like 50, 70 seaters, weren't they?
Yeah, indeed, and more. But down south, it was a bit thin, you know, in places like Worthing, you know. A lot of OAPs and stuff didn't quite grasp it. But no, up north, it was fabulous, you know. And on the basis of that, I'm going to do a bigger one in about, not for about 12 months.
Right.
But the next tour will have Alan Partridge in it.
Right. Yeah, because he wasn't in this. What? I mean, have you ever considered grasping the bull by the horns and, like, really going into the lion's den, doing a student venues tour with Paul Calf? He's kind of the archetypal student hater in many ways.
He is. But the thing is, I mean, I did the tour, the one thing I thought that all the audience would either be Paul Calf lookalikes or students.
Right.
But in actual fact, that were, to my great surprise, there was an awful lot of Guardian reading types in the audience. I can only tell this because it's very difficult to see the audience from the stage, but you kind of get a reflection of hundreds of spectacles.
Yeah.
And that somehow says to me, you know, intelligent people like yourself, man.
Yeah, well, John Hegley, you should get John Hegley. He's the spectacles expert of this parish. We'll talk loads more later. Of course, obviously, like, the big news is the new programme, which starts on Wednesday, The Day Today, which I call sort of like your TV version of On the Hour off the radio. It's not, I mean, it's not quite fair. It's not quite
it's new. It's like high-tech news. It's like RoboCop Terminator meets comedy kind of thing.
Yeah. And I've seen it today, and I must confess, it is very funny. And I'd tell you if it weren't.
Well, thank you. I respect your candidacy.
Right, yes, well, I don't need it tonight anyway. And as I say, phone in and give us the review of Thrum at the Marquee, if you're there. So to ram the number home in his best Brentford nylon selling voice, Steve Coogan.
The number is 061-200-2207. That number again, 061-200-2207.
OK, so there you have it. Steve Coogan, give you the hard sell on the number. Good that, isn't it, Steve?
Yes. Very good. And I particularly like the two front members of the band.
Right. Well, yes. I mean, there's a lot of interest in them. Apparently, the two 17-year-old girls. And so this is you. So you're playing up to your persona as like ladies' man of this parish. I wouldn't know anything about it myself.
No.
But anyway, but it's a dull name, isn't it? Drive.
Drive. Yeah.
Drive doesn't sort of rev you up, does it? Get it?
Oh dear. Yeah,
good that, because that's that plays to your other, because you like fast cars as well, don't you?
Yeah, drive, because two women in the band and cars, so that must be perfect for me.
That's perfect, right. You can have it if you want.
Oh,
you
that's
can have
nice.
It. You've got the same car as Roy Keane, haven't you? A Colorado. He's got Nick, though.
A Colorado? It's a Corrado.
Oh, is it?
Colorado, yeah. I put my cowboy hat on and went the back of it.
I don't know anything about cars. Polo, is that Flash?
No.
Dolomite?
No.
Dolomite?
Nay, lad.
Hey, lad's got a Dolomite, you know. We cruise up and down outside here after we finish the show, you know.
Ah, but is it a Dolomite Sprint?
Is it a Dolomite Sprint, lad? Yeah, he said it was. It's not. No, apparently.
No,
it's green, though. No, we do. We cruise up and down looking famous.
Has it got a black vinyl roof?
No, I think it's got a rusty roof. Anyway. Right, OK. Well, Steve Coogan is, I guess, he's one of the team who are launching The Day Today this week on BBC Two. And, well, for the most part, he's playing all sorts of characters, but Alan Partridge is a constituent part, and we'll have a bit of the inimitable Partridge before we talk.
This is Sports Desk. I'm Alan Partridge. And it's a special desk of sport now as we look back on some of the sporting highlights of the last sporting season. So lie down, relax, and let the sports commence. When it's cycling championships you're after, you can't say fairer than the Tour de France.
Dive Brandao there in the lead, swaying from side to side in his own inimitable bike riding way. Klaus Binn there on the inside, pumping away with those gristle-like muscly legs. inside those tight Lycra shorts, which have become his trademark. And I don't know what this man is playing at. There's no way. Surely the judges must come down like a ton of bricks on that. Carrying bikes on top of a car is not a sportsmanlike way to run this race.
Alan Partridge reporting on the Tour de France in his own inimitable style, of course. I mean, that's interesting. I mean, Alan is interesting as a sports reporter because, like, he doesn't quite grasp a lot of sports, does he? I mean, like, the guy he's referring to is just delivering bikes or carrying spares or something.
Yeah. No, Alan's... the thing about Alan is he speaks without thinking. Mm. You sort of speak first, think later.
Doesn't seem a million miles away from where we're sitting.
He's not. In fact, I know sod all about sports. So all I do is they show me some footage. Sit me in a studio, show me some footage of golfers. I don't know any of the rules or anything. So I say, I just sort of get confident and say, and then we see the golfer about to standing there with legs apart in the traditional golfing position, swinging up the golf bat thing and then swooping it down. And he's hit it! Well done! Right, yeah. You know, like, that's the objective.
That's the level of his critique. Yeah. So, the day-to-day, as I say, like, on the hour, obviously most of the same team are working on the hour on Radio 4. So to what extent is it the same and what's new in it?
Well, it's very sort of... It's like the radio series, but it's not like the radio series. We've sort of rethought it. It's like... I think the reaction is going to be good to it. I think it'll be sort of like Not the Night... It'll be received in the way Not the 9 o'clock News... was in that it has a go at the way news is presented. A lot of news these days, it sort of overestimates its own importance. It's all about big graphics and big in your face. The American CNN things filtering through to our news. You can see it, you know, all the time. They revamp, constantly revamping the news, and it's all presentation. It's all style. It's all style and no content, you know. But that's what it is. Doesn't stop moving. It's one of those really fast programs. You know, the news these days. You know, each news item lasts about 30 seconds because people can't. The attention spans
and a lot of them aren't interesting, of course. There's so much news on. I mean, most of the stories they cover are not interesting.
Exactly, yeah. So they've got to juice them up, and they want everything's got to be sexy, you know. Yeah. The news. So the day to day is no different. You know, it's jam packed full of stuff. I mean, it's the kind of thing you'll have to set your video and go back because you miss bits in it. You know, there's little bits going on in the background and things. You'll rewind and sort of pick up little bits. But you might hate it, but you won't get bored.
I mean, the graphics you mentioned. I mean, I've watched the tape of the first episode today, and I mean the graphics. Are like stunning. I mean, they are better than anyone else's graphics.
Well,
the real program.
ITN did the graphics. Did they? People did the graphics for ITN News. And when the producer Amanda Iannucci went to the graphics department, said we want you to ITN graphics style graphics, but take it a stage further, go really over the top. They couldn't. They were sort of over the moon. The people who make the graphics there, they were thinking, great, we can go to town and do all the things we've always ever wanted to do.
Oh, what? They've been showing admirable restraint up till now, have they?
Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because they were allowed to do anything they wanted, and they sort of these computer boffins with their graphics just sort of. You know, had a wet dream on the day to day.
Because, like, with your one of your bits, the sports desk with Party, I mean, it's sort of taken to its logical, bizarre extreme, isn't it? Really?
Yeah, well, the presenter turns into a computer graphic at the end of each, you know, news.
A running shoe or a punchbag.
Yeah. Alan Partridge's face turns into a punchbag as it goes to the boxing ring.
No, it's good.
Bizarre.
I mean, is this a kind of halfway house for you, like, doing it? Because obviously, Alan Partridge and Knowing Me, Knowing You is going to make the transition to the telly at some stage as well.
Well, this is sort of introducing Alan to the TV audience, you know, saying, hello, here's you've heard Alan. Oh. This is what he looks like. And you see him in a televisual context.
Right.
And it's a little hors d'oeuvre of Alan.
Right.
Where the main course of Partridge being served up in the autumn, you might say, in Alan terms.
And Loose Talk is, you know, another series that I think Amanda Iannucci, you mentioned, is involved in. I mean, like, that's making the transition to telly as well. We've already had the Mary Whitehouse experience. Is all the good comedy, like, coming from radio to telly? Are telly frightened of trying out new things?
Well, it's you know, everyone's frightened of doing things on telly. Everyone's frightened of putting a lot of money, you know, on something and pilots are made all the time, but if a show's really good on radio, then someone else has taken the risk already. And also, it's been tried, it's worked. It's, so they don't feel they're taking as big a gamble, I suppose, the people upstairs. It's worked in radio, so there's half a chance it'll work on telly, you know, which is not always the case.
Well, I was going to say,
it's not always the case. You've really got to rethink a programme, you know, from scratch, because something that's funny on radio isn't necessarily funny on telly. You've got to make it look funny, you know.
Right. So does this new one really sort of tap into the fact that, like, the whole world we live in seems to be becoming totally news-obsessed then, really?
Yeah, it's not. We didn't sort of, when we made it, you know, there's a lot of commissioned writing, a lot of the performers, we all sit around and improvise things and things that come into your head, you know, it's all sort of free for all. But we never sat around and go, let's make a statement about the news media and the way it's presented today. We just do things we think are funny.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things we think are funny are things that are supposed to be serious. So we just take it a stage further. Because when I watch the news now, I sort of laugh at the way these reporters love to sort of use analogies all the time. They say when they talk about sort of the weather, they say the weather this morning was like a cake baked in the oven. It was hot and then it went cold and then it was shared out amongst the inhabitants of this small town. And they all got a piece of the cake that is the weather. You know, they use these stupid analogies, and we just sort of took that. Just took it a stage further, but the whole thing's done sort of slightly seriously, and all the trailers that have been on TV have been keep letting people sort of second guess it, so that some people probably think it's the news. I think it'll be a case of the War of the Worlds when the first one goes out.
Not ever.
Anyone's got their head screwed on, I'll understand it, but I think there might be a few dotty grannies who start phoning at the BBC saying, you know, what's going on?
Well, there'll be a lot of complaints in there because, like, you know, Jeremy Paxman has had his fair share of critics as well as admirers as well. Mm. And obviously, like, Chris Morris's central anchorman is, like, heavily modelled on Jeremy Paxman. This, again, taken to its logical extent.
Well, it's sort of, Chris, I think the way Chris presents it is great. He's sort of got this gruff, kind of arrogant attitude towards the viewer, which sort of says, you can like this, and if you don't like it, then sod off, kind of thing. It's like it's on our terms. No one tries to be liked. It's a slightly sort of nasty edge to it, but I found that quite appealing.
And it's like, you know, reducing the guest to like heaps of jelly, you know.
Yeah. Well, really, sometimes you sort of see a newscaster and you say, "Oh, I really, really wish you'd say this to that person," and he says it. You know?
Yeah. No, and he's not that pleasant to Alan. He obviously like treats Alan with total disdain, doesn't he?
The great thing we do between Alan is, you know, whenever you're on TV or on the radio, you get a link between the weatherman and the newsman, and they always have a little chat, and they go, "So, what have you been up to?" And they sort of say, "Well, I just had an interesting weekend, and yes, and you, and how are you?" And very well, and a little bit of a joke there, and, you know. And it's this meaningless, inane conversation that goes on, and we just sort of take that to its conclusion. So there's when you have those conversations, there's always something slightly uncomfortable about them. They try to make a joke, and even if there's not a joke, they sort of chuckle anyway, as if someone's made a joke.
Yeah.
And we just explore that side of things. You know, there's horrible, but we make them ultra embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, the Paxman character obviously like has so many subjects he can talk about, and Alan Partridge obviously struggling with anything, even sport, which he's supposed to know all about. Yeah. I mean, is that the kind of balance you're after with Partridge? Because like he thinks he's so smart, really, particularly more so on Knowing Me, Knowing You, really. But he thinks he's so smart and well in control, and he's just as much the victim as the people he's sort of like preying on in a way.
Alan, yeah. Well, Alan's quite sad, but I quite like him sometimes. Yeah. I mean, in the day-to-day, he's very much a victim. I mean, there's one coming up where it goes to the World Cup and Chris Morris links to Alan and says, and now Alan, you know, with stuff about the World Cup, and he's holding a football.
Yeah.
And it cuts to Alan Partridge, who's about to present this sports item, and this football hits him on the side of the head really hard. But it's not in a kind of a jokey way. You can see his ear going red after the ball's hit the side of his head as he tries to carry on with the report, grinning, laughing as if he's enjoyed the joke.
Yeah.
And he's not. His head is hurting.
Mm. Right, yeah. And also, a good thing to look out for, I think, is Patrick Marber's Elvis bit. I mean, we don't want to give too much away, but
there's an electrocution, a live electrocution on the show if you want to watch it.
Right. Yeah. And so it starts on Wednesday, doesn't it? 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock, BBC Two.
BBC Two, Steve Coogan, a.k.a. Alan Partridge. And lard, we haven't done any.
What?
Go on.
What?
Do the honours, go on, do them.
What?
Go on, what you do?
No.
Go on.
No, you do it, Steve.
1 FM.
We need 5 more.
1 FM. 1 FM. 1 FM. 1 FM.
That's only 5, lad. You'll have to do one.
1 FM.
Anyway, you've not been on the show very much tonight. What have you been up to?
Well, to be honest, I'm trying to move out of radio.
What? Into retirement? Are you going back to the chip fat reclamation business? What,
no, no. Very good, very good. No, I'm thinking of moving into TV, actually.
Moving into TV? You flipping heck. Like, how dare you?
Well, I've conquered radio.
How dare you say, like, it is me, like a seasoned radio showbiz pro.
Yeah.
You sat next to Steve, one of the top up-and-coming names
in
television, radio, comedy show business.
Yeah.
And you don't know your arse from your elbow about anything, and you're already off through radio into television.
I've done loads on radio. I mean, I'm on nearly every night, and I just feel like I'm bored with it now. I feel like I'm moving on, you know.
It can be done.
Well,
mock ye
see?
Not.
Ah! So what they short of on Question Time? Someone to say to David Dimbleby, fancy a brew arcade?
No, you've done this, haven't you, Steve?
Yes,
you started
in
radio, didn't you?
I started out doing comedy in Radio Manchester.
Right.
They didn't want to know me, didn't want to know my jokes. We're interested.
Right. You people, you make me... I mean, there's only... there's only me, Wrighty and Peely that are really true to radio. We're the only people who just stick
Steve
to
Steve Wright's
doing...
on telly.
Wright.
He's got his own show.
He's not, has he?
He has.
Has he?
Yeah.
Steve Wright.
He's on the telly.
TV. Has he?
And he gets a load of money.
Peely's got something in the pipeline as well, so I hear.
He does adverts.
Does he?
He does adverts.
And do you make money for that, Steve?
Voiceovers.
Do you?
You get loads of money, like, buy some mustard. I want to do, like, adverts for batteries and stuff, because there's lots of money in it.
Is there?
I've used all my best gags. I feel it's a bit of a, bit of a bad situation for me to be in, because I've given you all my best material.
When was that, then?
Fancy a brew? Ha-ha! Hiya, Mark. I mean, I've used all of it, really.
And is that the stuff that you get a big wedge for in telly, Steve?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
So,
Chetley's, mate, tea bags, mate, tea.
Brilliant. So,
that's
what...
just an example.
The Mock Turtles and Can You Dig It from 91. But, I mean, it seems like it's from a different world now, doesn't it? Like,
it does. Those were the glory days.
How times have moved on. Just in case anybody knows, Steve Coogan is here. Martin Coogan of the Mock Turtles. That's your kid, that, isn't it?
Yes, it is indeed.
What's he doing now, then? Are they still going, the Mock Turtles?
No, the band is... The Mock Turtles, the name is gone. The band are reforming. And he's on the lookout for... a new lead singer. He wants to take a back seat and do a bit of the writing.
Right.
How about me and Mark?
If there's any sexy young men.
Me and Lard, perhaps?
Yeah. With an attitude.
Oh!
There's plenty
with
of
what?
There.
An attitude.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get one.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I'll go to the music shop and get one.
Right. One of those young attitudes the youngsters have.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Right. No, we could do that, couldn't we, Lard?
Yeah. Watch your face, man. Who are you looking at? Like that kind of thing.
That kind of thing. Right. Rude, that's but good. Trendy clothes.
That's great. Yeah. No, all right. Well, we'll do that. So when's he going to do a record again?
He's currently looking for someone to stump up some money. So if there's anyone out there with about 100 grand...
Right.
You know what to do with
it. Well, we'd better give the number out again, haven't we? And we can do... In fact, talking about the number...
Don't worry
if
you don't get through it first. Keep trying.
Now, it'll be just going crazy now, won't it? Eh? Right, people wanted to sign bands left, right and centre. Some questions here for you off that come from our hotline. One from Lisa Task in Wolverhampton. Wolverhampton. Wolverhampton.
1FM.
It's new town near Wolverhampton.
Apparently, yeah. Is there a Calf Coogan video out?
No, but there will be very short. We'll tell you what we're going to do. We're thinking of doing is renting Bernard Manning's Embassy Club for a couple of nights.
Right.
And doing my live show at the Embassy Club just to make a video out of it. And we'd have my mate John Thompson comparing the night as Bernard Wrighton.
Right.
Which is kind of a Wrighton ideologically sound Bernard Manning, if you can imagine such a thing.
Yeah. And not funny anymore.
That's right, yeah.
Well, I say anymore.
He's sort of funny. I mean, he says things like... There's a black man, a Pakistani, and a Jew in a pub having a drink. What a fantastic example of an integrated community. That kind of thing.
Can I go to that show?
It is a great act.
Yeah, but we've not got dates or anything like that.
Would I have to pay?
No, you don't. But the thing is, we want sort of like a mixed audience. We don't just want Bernard Manning's normal fare because they might not.
Well, best not come then.
That knocks Lard out of the frame, doesn't it? Right. Jonathan Davis, whereabouts unknown. Is Alan Partridge available on cassette? I mean, you're selling.
He is available on cassette. Unfortunately, the BBC are not the most go-getting of people when it comes to flogging their own wares.
1FM.
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 But they are available in any good... and bad. All the good books and all the bad books.
Right.
It's available in all, John Menzies, W.H. Smith, all the places that stock records that are a bit square, like, no, I can't say that, right. I'm getting in trouble. But those kind of places that have got BBC cassettes in and music, comedy cassettes. There is an Alan Partridge.
All hip happening outlets for the youngsters of today with attitude, you mean, Steve?
Indeed. All you youngsters.
Right. And here's one for Ed from, it looks like Banbury. It could be from Hanbury's. It could have nipped out for some condensed milk. Anyway. Ed from Banbury, has Steve ever been beaten up himself? Because if not, he'll come down and sort him out. No, thus giving him the inspiration for the Paul Calf character.
More or less. And I kind of avoided getting beaten up. That was the secret. I avoided it. But there was plenty of people like that around, yeah.
Question from Lindsay from the Midlands. Is there going to be another Paul Carf video diary? Because that was a cracker at Christmas, that, I thought.
Well, yeah, a lot of people like that. Some people complained, but then if those people don't complain, I'm a bit disappointed.
Well, absolutely.
There is another Paul Carf in the pipeline, as they say. It's not going to be a video diary. It's going to be Paul... there's a big Ard family in Manchester, sort of gangland family after him, and he has to join a religious sect to get away from them. And as you can imagine, the result is quite humorous.
Absolutely hilarious. And what about Pauline Carf as well? Because I know she was a big success, story on tour and in the video, Dan.
I know. Yeah, she'll be in it, definitely. She'll be, she's works a bit better than Paul. She's getting her own sort of... brand of fan.
Are you sort of getting more, because you've done Paul for a while, are you sort of getting...
Well, I'm getting bored with Paul, and I don't mind. I mean, I think he'll get hit by a bus before she does.
Right. So the day-to-day starts on Wednesday at 9 o'clock. All these other people you work with, aren't they all sort of a bit of Oxbridge? I mean,
they are. I like to say that, they just drafted me in just to say that it's not a sort of an old boys network there.
Right.
But there's sometimes when we're rehearsing, they all start whittling on about their Oxford days, and I sit in the corner reading a car magazine.
So you've got a chip on your shoulder, really?
I've got a bag of chips on my shoulder, right. Both.
Reading about your Volkswagen Colorado.
Indeed, yes. Oh, yeah, it's great fun.
Well informed. That's my job on Top Gear down the Swanee, isn't it?
Yeah.
OK, Steve, right, well, I've seen it. I know it's good, so best of luck with it anyway.
Oh, smashing. And God bless you.
We'll see you again very soon.